The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why do most churches hesitate to teach about inheritance and eternal reward? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We are taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got one of those questions that keeps you up late at night, or maybe you have 10 of those questions, we hope you'll send them to us through email, which you can reach us at radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to the show. Our first question comes from Brennan.
Okay.
I've been listening to the podcast for a while now and enjoy your teachings. Well, thank you very much, Brennan. I attend a large church in Dallas, and they recently skimmed over 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. And when it was briefly discussed, the pastor leaned more towards questioning salvation based on works than explaining inheritance in the kingdom. My question is, why do so many churches seem not to discuss inheritance and eternal rewards at all? And if discussed, why are so many cautious to fully dive into the topic of inheritance, either on the side of works or of grace? Can I give an opening answer to that?
Yes.
The opening answer is they don't discuss those things because most churches, most traditions are extremely weak on eschatology. That's the study of the last things. That's
right.
The study of what's going to happen in the future and what the Bible has to say about it. Most traditions are extremely weak on that. And the whole idea of inheritance and reward in the kingdom that Jesus is coming to establish, that's all eschatology. And people often just don't teach on those things.
A second point would be many, if not most, evangelical congregations today focus on this life.
Yeah.
They want to help you be a better parent, to be a better spouse. They want to help you handle your money better.
Right.
They want to help you have your best life now, right? They want you to experience prosperity.
Yes.
And the emphasis in many churches is not on the life to come.
Yeah.
That's considered pie in the sky or something.
Right.
But the emphasis is on the here and now. Now, of course, we want people to have abundant lives here and now. God wants everybody to have abundant life here and now.
Right.
But you can't really have an abundant life here and now without a robust eschatology, right?
Right. And, you know, these evangelicals are teaching a form of eschatology, but it's a realized eschatology. It's we've got to bring in the kingdom now, so that's why we're going to focus on what to do now. And they kind of ignore all of the stuff that is supposed to happen later.
Well, let me give you an example, and I think I've told this on the podcast several years ago, but it bears repeating. I was at a leading Bible church in Dallas, just visiting one Sunday. This was about 10 years ago, and a huge Bible church, maybe a couple thousand people, and the pastor was speaking. He was an adjunct faculty member at one of the leading conservative seminaries in Dallas. And he was talking about what do we mean when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, you know, we get into big discussions among the faculty and the faculty lounge about what the kingdom means and what thy kingdom come means. But I'm not going to get into all that because the truth is we all know that what God wants is for his will to be done on earth rather than in heaven. Yes, there's a coming kingdom, but God wants his kingdom to come now. It's not the final kingdom, but it is God's kingdom. And what God's kingdom is characterized by is justice, righteousness, and peace.
Yeah.
God wants to do that, and this Bible church is to be a vehicle to bring in God's kingdom today, not some unforeseen future 500 years from now or some foreseen future 500 years from now, but right now we need to be bringing in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Well, what he was talking about was realized eschatology.
Right.
They say already, not yet. The kingdom's already here, but it's not yet here.
Yeah.
I remember we had Dr. Stan Toussaint speak at our conference around that time, and he said, the kingdom is not yet, and it's not yet. There's no already about it.
Yeah, yeah, about the kingdom. But other things, there's already and not yet.
Yeah, sure.
Like, we're born again, but we're not resurrected yet.
Right.
The Spirit's within us, but we're not in God's presence like forever and ever
right.
and ever yet. But as far as the kingdom is concerned, that's totally future.
Yeah, I mean, we
completely
could say
future.
We have everlasting life, but we don't have it as fully as we will experience it when we're in the kingdom.
Right.
Remember Jesus said, John the Baptist, the greatest among men, but least among those in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And whatever that means, there's something special about being in the kingdom.
Right. And, you know, part of this conversation, now I want to have sympathy for the evangelicals, all right? And I want to have sympathy for the everyday pastors here. I think maybe another reason why these types of things aren't talked about is because they are hard. These are hard topics. Oh. And a pastor who's, like, burned out, who can barely just keep his people from, like, living together, you know, because they don't realize that sex outside of marriage is bad. Or he can barely keep their people, like, these families together. He probably doesn't want to get into the nitty-gritty of what an inheritance is, you know, in the Bible. It's probably not even on his horizon to think about.
That's a good point. And I think related to that is the idea that these things are rarely taught. The idea
yeah.
that we could inherit the kingdom, meaning we could rule with Christ,
yeah.
is a minority position for sure, and it's rarely taught.
Yeah.
And the idea that there's such a thing as eternal rewards is rarely taught.
Right.
I remember I read a book when I was at Dallas Seminary by, I think it was Sale Harrison, called The Judgment Seat of Christ, Important Truth That Every Christian Should Know.
Okay.
And this was about a 1908 book or something. And the authors were saying, you know, the judgment seat of Christ is something most Christians have never even heard of.
Yeah.
I mean, the expression only occurs twice in the New Testament.
Well, I think that's part of the problem, too. It's not like if you look up love, you know, hundreds of times, believe lots and lots of times. Judgment seat of Christ, two times. you know, so it's not a huge topic.
But I should mention, and this comes back to Brennan's point, even though the exact expression, the judgment seat of Christ, only occurs twice, and that in the majority text, only once if you take the critical text.
Oh, really?
Because yeah. in Romans 14, 10 through 12, it says the judgment seat of God
okay.
in the critical text. But even though it's only twice,
yeah.
the concept is all through the New Testament. I mean, John talks about the believer's day of judgment. Well,
yeah.
the day of judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. And Jesus gave lots of parables about the judgment seat of Christ. And he's talking about when he's coming back and
right.
he's going to judge his servants. And so there's lots of references to the judgment seat of Christ. But part of the problem is, you see, in many traditions, all of those passages are everlasting life passages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that if you're found to be unfaithful by Christ, then you're missing the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so for many, the judgment seat of Christ is another name for the great white throne judgment.
Right. So maybe tied to that and also an answer to Brennan's question. He mentioned that this pastor kind of leaned towards 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11 being about questioning your salvation based on your works. I was going to say another contributing factor to this is a lot of evangelicals are weak on salvation by faith apart from works. I think most of them would say, yeah, I believe in that. But in practice, if you listen to their sermons and in what they say, in practice what they believe is salvation by works, which means they're not really distinguishing between salvation and discipleship. And if you don't have that distinction, you're not going to have a place for rewards. You're not going to have a place for inheritance. So if your eschatology is screwed up and your soteriology is screwed up, you're going to be very unlikely to understand the inheritance passages.
You know, that's a good point. And I remember, Sean, when I was just a young guy right out of seminary and I was teaching at Multnomah School of the Bible, and I was debating a fellow faculty member about lordship salvation. And before the debate, I was talking with the head of the theology department, Dr. Al Bayless.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, Bob, the difference between you and the person you're going to be debating is you think there is a significant distinction between salvation and discipleship, or between justification and sanctification.
Right.
And your opponent sees the two as merged together.
Yeah.
What you just said.
Yeah, that's a big division in evangelicalism.
So for many people in evangelicalism, you've heard the expression, justification is by faith alone, but the faith that justifies is never alone.
Yeah.
And what that means essentially is justification is by faith alone, but justification is also by faith plus works.
Right, right. That's what it means. That's what it means. I'll never forget, and I'll always be grateful for this day. I think it was maybe 2002. I had been a Christian for six or seven years. I was at McGill, and I was a student minister in the Presbyterian Church of Canada. They let me as a Baptist, evangelical Baptist, go there, even though they're a liberal Presbyterian denomination. And I was touring these little churches in the country, out in the canola and the mustard fields in Saskatchewan. It's just flat and it's beautiful. I go into this little old church. It's totally, almost totally abandoned. There's maybe eight people who go there on a Sunday. They have this library, and this library is just totally dilapidated. The books are falling apart. The bookshelves are falling down. And the pastor I was with said, hey, if you see anything in that library, just take it. No one cares about these books anymore. So I'm looking through it, and it's mostly stuff I'm not interested in. But I find a little, little tiny booklet by C.I. Schofield called Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, C.I. Schofield. I mean, this is kind of my background a little bit, going to a brethren church with my mom. And so I took that booklet, and I was, can I have this? And he said, sure. And that booklet honestly just changed. I learned more from that booklet than probably 4 years at McGill, I have to say. And one of the things I learned from that booklet was the distinction between salvation and rewards.
Yes.
You know, salvation and discipleship. So that's all in there, too. I would say it's free online. If you're not sure about the difference between salvation and rewards or salvation and discipleship, position and condition, all those things, check out that little booklet. It's free online, C.I. Schofield, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. Once you see those verses put side by side, you will see that these things are completely different. This confused preaching sheds shadows over the Word of God. And if you're making these distinctions, really opens it up.
My own personal testimony would be that once I discovered a robust understanding of the judgment seat of Christ and eternal rewards, it just opened the Bible up. Mm. All of a sudden, all those problem passages I had started going away.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go through gymnastics to explain them.
Right.
They were obvious.
Yeah. The Bible is hard enough as it is, but if you have bad eschatology and an even worse soteriology, nothing's going to make sense. We'll see you guys on the next show.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the word perdition, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.